This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A look at business in Egypt during a state of emergency.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Banks and many businesses are closed in Egypt through Monday following the deaths of more than 400 people in the last day as the military cleared protest camps set up by supporters of ousted President Mohamed Morsi. The U.S. and the U.N. are among those in the international community condemning the violence and calling for an early shift back to democracy and civilian rule. The country's military-backed government has imposed a state of emergency set to last a month. Angus Blair is president of the Signet Institute, a think tank based in Cairo.
It's going to be quite difficult short term to try to find a new balance and trying to get people to spend and companies to invest again. And we're probably going to have to deny it. We'll wait a few weeks to try to see what change this will be.
When I was in Cairo covering the Egyptian economy in the wake of the Arab Spring more than 2 years ago, among the business owners I spent time with was Zainab Khalifa, who has two jewelry stores in the Egyptian capital. I reached her again this morning. Good morning, Zainab.
Good morning, my dear.
So you are closed for business today?
Yes. Yes, we are. I was in the street to see what's going on, and I was buying some things for my house. And I'm now staying at home to organize some things. And I'm calling, of course, in the afternoon, the people. We are going to be shut down till next Monday, till we see. So I don't want the people who are working, they're coming from everywhere and from far away, they get trouble in the street or they cut off the transportation on them. So how are they going to be back home?
Banks are shut today. Is that an additional hardship for you, or were you able to make plans for that?
It is hard for me and for the worker, but still the circumstances of the country just has to be, we have to handle it. We cannot do anything about it now. Or we have to be wise and we have to handle the situation.
For you and your family and your businesses, what do you hope happens next in the coming days, in the coming weeks in Egypt?
I hope to see the military away from the political scene. Completely. That's what I really wish.
You want to see a shift back to some sort of democratic civilian process?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm dying for this. The military regime, it's not going to last.
Zainab Khalifa owns two jewelry stores in the city of Cairo. Ms. Khalifa, thank you very much.
Thank you, my dear.
Despite calls for a freeze, the U.S. is sticking by the $1.3 billion it's granted in aid to Egypt's military. New figures this week show garment exports from Bangladesh jumped 26% in July compared to the same time last year. Still, the debate over how to protect the country's garment workers continues following that terrible collapse of the Rana Plaza factory complex. Employers and global retailers like Walmart and H&M have promised to improve workers' rights and safety, but conditions in many of the textile factories remain bad. The BBC's Mahfouz Sadiq reports from Dhaka.
Since the factory collapse in April, which killed 1,100 people, the remaining 4 million, mostly female workers, have received many promises. But not much has happened. Even a new labor law removing a requirement for factory owners to approve unions is being criticized by rights groups as insufficient. Mikhail Shipper is the secretary of Bangladesh's labor ministry.
Considering our present socio-economic condition, I think it is the best labor law we have done, and it can be improved, but we need some time.
All sides want more time, it seems. The International Labour Organization has also come out against the new labour law. Srinivas B. Reddy is its Bangladesh director.
The whole issue of conducting assessments of all the garment factories, active garment factories, they're saying about 3,500 to be assessed during the next few months in the preliminary phase is very, very important.
But already Kalpana Akhtar, a labor rights activist, sees change of a different kind.
Workers themselves, they are raising their voices. Whenever they see a spark or a crack in the building, they are saying, this is not a safe working place. They walk out from the factory and they tell their factory owners or management that until you make it safe, we'll not come back.
For now, workers here are waiting for all the promised changes to reach them. Until then, they can only remain vigilant. In Dhaka, Bangladesh, I'm the BBC's Mahfuz Sadiq for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. A down day generally so far. The Nikkei in Japan fell 2.1%. The key index in Shanghai dropped 0.9%. The FT100 in London right now is down 0.8%. NASDAQ, S&P, and Dow futures are also down at the moment.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Activist shareholders have been getting more headlines than great white sharks this late summer, with William Ackman resigning from the JCPenney board and Carl Icahn taking a big stake in Apple, then driving the share price higher with his Twitter messages. Kate Davidson looks at the good and the bad that activist investors can bring to a company.
Activist investors do have a kind of bad boy appeal. They buy a bunch of shares, flex their muscles, and try to force changes that increase shareholder value. Charles Elson directs the Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance.
I think the most successful thing they do is forcing boards to re-examine dogma.
He cites Home Depot, Waste Management, and AutoZone, also Yahoo, where an activist investor led the charge to install Marissa Mayer, the company's sixth CEO in five rocky years. Which brings us to what Wharton professor Mike Youssim calls
the woes of JCPenney.
Here, activist investor William Ackman also pushed for a new CEO, one who produced a $1 billion loss in his first year.
And if an activist investor ultimately brings in the wrong CEO, we can see dramatic swings in the performance of the companies so involved.
JCPenney is now trying to recover, but without Ackman on its board. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Research from the University of Michigan for the young adults in a study. The more you Facebook, the worse you feel. Life satisfaction and well-being went down. My theory, all the oversharers. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.